Once again, I'm not saying, you know, yes. I don't think anybody's looking for a yes man. I don't think anybody's looking for somebody to follow them around and just say yes to everything. That's not the point. But there should be some degree of loyalty in the relationships that you are in. And that is, you have the other person's back, and the other person has your back. That when the chips are low and things are down and out, that person is going to stay with you. It's like I said last week. In some situations, when the ship starts to sink, the rats are the first to jump. And you can tell who your true friends are, that when things start getting difficult and things start getting tough, that these people are the first individuals to bail. You know what that means? That means that there's no loyalty there. That means that they don't love you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Building Trust in Relationships. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Building Trust in Relationships.
Abraham had another son. His name was Ishmael. How come God didn't say, take this son, Isaac? How come he didn't say, take Isaac instead of Ishmael? He told Abraham, take your only son. What did he mean? Your only unique son that has a special place in your heart. The son that I have laid my hands on, the son that I have touched, and out of that son which will come a multitude of nations. Take your only son who you love and offer him up. And it's very difficult to build trust in a relationship if people don't sense the love coming from you. Or as the young people say, show some love. Or as somebody else will say, feel the love. So you either got to show the love or feel the love. Now, as we think about love, what qualities of trust flow out of love? There's three qualities of trust that flow out of love. I have them for you in your notes there. Respect, communication, and loyalty. Respect, communication, and loyalty. Because you love somebody, you should respect them. If you don't respect somebody, then most likely that person is not going to respect you. And if they don't respect you, then they're not going to love you. I like that song by the Staple Singers. You're walking around thinking that the world owes you something because you're here. You're going out the world backwards like you did when you first came in. You know, respect yourself. You know, respect yourself. So if you respect yourself, then you got to respect others. If you're not respecting other people, they're not going to respect you, and you're not going to have trust in the relationship, because respect is a foundation. A second thing that flows out of love is communication. That if you love somebody, there's communication that goes on. Now, if this other person is always doing something on the down low, you're always sneaking around and moving and all this other kind of stuff, and they're not communicating to you, then there's no love in that relationship. Because what does love do? Love communicates. Love lets people know what's going on. There's communication back and forth. And you know what? Let me ask this question. You don't have to raise your hand, but you can raise your hand in your heart. How many people trust somebody that don't communicate with them? Very difficult to trust somebody that's not letting you know what's going on. If you look at even leadership in the church, you know, one of the things, and praise God that we learned, I'm going to say I learned a lesson a long time ago here at Bethany, that whatever you're doing, you need to communicate to folk and you need to let them know what's going on. You know, there's a couple things in the past that we were trying to do. And because we kind of kept it with the leadership and we were trying to work some things out, and when we began to move on it, Come to find out that the people were not with us. And why weren't the people with us? Because we hadn't communicated to them what was going on. And it's the same thing in a relationship. If communication is being held back, if you're not communicating with another person, then there's that question mark that comes up in that person's mind to say, why are they not communicating? Why are they not letting me know what's going on? Why are they not keeping me abreast? And so as a result of that, we try to be open and honest and communicate everything that we're doing. And if, you know, we might be working on some stuff, putting some things together, and when it's together, we're going to let everybody know. You know, I look at, you know, we're getting ready to build a new sanctuary, trying to build a new sanctuary. You know, there's a whole lot of talk going on behind the scene. We're trying to put some things in place. And when we get it in place, believe us, the first people that will know is this congregation. Whenever it lines up and we get it in order, the congregation will know. Because if you don't keep it out there and people don't know what's going on, they begin to cast a doubt on you. They begin to, in their mind, they don't know if they can really trust you. And so communication is a part of trust. And then we see that loyalty is a part of love that leads to trust. If I know that a person is loyal to me, once again, I'm not saying, you know, yes. I don't think anybody's looking for a yes man. I don't think anybody's looking for somebody to follow them around and just say yes to everything. That's not the point. But there should be some degree of loyalty in the relationships that you are in. And that is, you have the other person's back and the other person has your back. That when the chips are low and things are down and out, that person is going to stay with you. It's like I said last week. In some situations, when the ship starts to sink, the rats are the first to jump. And you can tell who your true friends are, that when things start getting difficult and things start getting tough, that these people are the first individuals to bail. You know what that means? That means that there's no loyalty there. That means that they don't love you. You know, if a person, and I said this last week, is always flirting with somebody of the opposite sex, and their husband or wife is seeing this, you know what that is? That's disloyalty. And that person senses that disloyalty. And so what happens? They begin to really question in their mind and in their heart if they can trust you. If a person catches you talking about them, now they're supposed to be your boy, right? They're supposed to be your dog. And they catch you talking about them behind their back, then guess what? At that point, there goes the trust. Why? Because you haven't been loyal. You know, look, man, you're supposed to be somebody that got my back. You're somebody that I trust. You're somebody that I'm in this situation with, and you are supposed to have my back. And so in order to build trust in a relationship, you've got to show love. And that love comes through respect, communication, and loyalty. The third thing that we see, if you are going to build trust in a relationship, you must keep your word. You must keep your word. Look at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and will come again unto you. Boy, Abraham put his word on the line, didn't he? He put his word on the line. He said, me and the young man, me and Isaac, you know, we're going to go, and we're going to worship, and we're going to come back. Now, you might miss this, and it's very interesting, and I'm not here to flaunt the Hebrew, but a literal translation in the Hebrew says this. Abraham said this, me and Isaac are determined to go. Me and Isaac are determined to worship. And me and Isaac are determined to come back. Boy, I tell you what, he put his word on the line, didn't he? He put his word on, I mean, and once again, in the Hebrew language, it's just not like, you know, Abraham saying, yeah, you know, we're going to go worship and, you know, we're going to come back, you know. No, in the Hebrew language, I and the lad, we're going to go. I and the lad, we're going to worship, and I and the lad, we're coming back. If he doesn't come back with Isaac, you know, not only these young men looking at Abraham saying, man, you're a big liar. You're not a person of your word. But I'm going to tell you something that's really deep. You know what Abraham believed? Abraham believed that, look at verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham had every, this is deep. Abraham had every intention of killing Isaac. Every intention of killing Isaac. But you know what? He also knew he was coming back with Isaac. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews 11 and verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up, here we got that word again, his monogenes, his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. What did Abraham believe? Abraham believed, he said, I and the lad will go, I and the lad will worship, I and the lad will come back. But you got a knife, but you got wood, but you're going to kill this kid. He took the knife, he was getting ready to kill Isaac, and if he would have came down with that knife and ended Isaac's life, Abraham believed that God was going to raise him up from the dead. Abraham believed in the power of God to raise his son from the dead. And so Abraham's word was on the line. And if you are a person of integrity, you are an individual that keeps your word. How you doing on that, saints? How you doing on that? Are you an individual? I have to be honest. You know, sometimes I make a bill that I can't pay. I might say something and I forget. Now, you know, I don't intentionally not do some things, but I might forget. And I feel so convicted, and the reason that I feel convicted is because there goes my word. And what is the main thing that I have? I mean, I've got a lot of things, but one of the main things I have is my word. And if my word is no good, if people can't believe what Pastor Glaze says and put stock in what Pastor Glaze says, then that's a reflection on my character. And it's hard for people to trust somebody who don't keep their word. If you've broken promises over and over and over to individuals, I can guarantee you that there's no trust, that they don't trust you. You know, one of the things that I try to do is not make too many promises to my grandkids, because they remember them. They remember them. And so I'm very careful about the promises that I make. You know, I'm going to take you to Chuck E. Cheese. You don't forget that. Don't forget that you told me you're going to take them to Chuck E. Cheese. All right? Why? Because even with little kids, your word, you know? I get it. Oh, man, Pop, he said he was going to take us to Chuck E. Cheese. He's not taking us anywhere. He ain't going to show up. Your word. That's what you have. That's who you are. And we can't be, as people of God, constantly saying that we're going to do something and then don't do it. You know, we can't say that we're committed to being a ministry and then don't come. That's our word. That's who you are. You know, we can't constantly say that we're going to do something for God. I'm going to do this for God. And then you don't do it. That's your word. And he says here that we're going to go, we're going to worship, and we're going to come again. Abraham's word was on the line. God help us to be people of our word. When we get up in the morning, you know, some people get up and we rush into the day. Man, you ought to be spending some time with God. You ought to get before God and you ought to spend time with God. And one of the things that you ought to pray in your prayer time, God, help me to be a person of integrity and a man or woman of my word. That needs to be a prayer. And if we say that we're going to do something, that we would do what we say. And then finally, to build trust in a relationship, you got to be honest. You got to be an honest person. If you're not honest, and this basically, you know, goes back to the integrity issue, you know, because I believe that the two are tied in together, is that if you are not a person of integrity, then generally you're not a person that's honest. And I tell you, there's one thing that I have a difficult time with. I'm just going to be honest with you, saints. One thing that I have a difficult time with, and that is people who lie. I don't understand it. You know, I guess some people lie to save their skin. I guess some people lie to so that they can look good. But I just have a difficult time dealing with folks that outright, bold-faced lie. And I've seen it. I'm sad to say, I've seen it in the house of God, where people said that they were going to do something or they did something, knowing full well they didn't do it. You know, and so, you know, we have to be people who are honest. Somebody said that honesty is the best policy. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. Honesty is not the best policy. Honesty is the only policy. It's the only policy. You know, like we got some choice whether to be honest on different levels. And Abraham, you know, he really had a problem because twice in the scripture, Abraham lied. He stretched the truth a little bit. He said that his wife was his sister. Now, she was his sister. She was his half-sister. But he didn't let the people know that, hey, this is also my wife, too. So maybe that's what that means when it says honesty is the best policy, is that there are different levels of honesty. And as long as we stay on a level of honesty, well, you know, she's really not my wife. She's my sister. You know, okay, so if we can stay there, then we'll be all right, right? Or, you know, we call it a little white lies. You know, well, you know, I was trying to be honest. You know, I told partial truth. No, you got to be an honest individual, because if people see the slightest bit of shadiness in you, they're not going to trust you at all because you're a dishonest individual. Which leads me to my last point, and that is, you know, because I see it happening when there's been unfaithfulness in a marriage, when there's been abuse in a family, when there's been misdealings in the business world, that the trust is violated. And so how are we to regain the trust? At the bottom of your notes, let me give you five things and I'm done. Five things and I'm done. How do you regain trust in a relationship? First of all, if trust is to be regained, both parties must identify the issue that destroyed the trust. You've got to look and you say, what caused this trust to be destroyed? Why is it that there's this rift between us now, and I can't trust you or you can't trust me? So you've got to identify the issue. Secondly, if trust is to be regained, there must be total and honest confession by the offender. That you got to come clean. You know, which leads to the next point. If trust is to be regained, the offender cannot try to justify his actions or blame the other person, but you got to accept responsibility. That if you are, if the trust has been violated, that you are going to accept the responsibility. You are going to confess, you know, it's not my mother, it's not my father, but it's me, oh Lord. I'm the one that did wrong. I'm the one that got to get this situation straightened out. I'm the one who has to deal with it. But what happens a lot of times is that we try to throw it off on somebody else because we don't want to deal with it. Well, if you didn't do such and such a thing, well, because you did this, no, no, no. If you are the offender, if you have been the one that has violated the trust in a relationship, then you need to come clean. You need to man up and take the responsibility and say, it can be humbling. Yeah, it can be very humbling. The first message that we did when we started talking about relationships was brokenness. And sometimes if we're going to man up, we've got to be broken. And we got to come to that place where we say that I was wrong. And I'm accepting personal responsibility for why the trust has been violated in this relationship. Number four, if trust is to be regained, the offending party must completely repent of the wrong action. You got to do a 360. See, you can't keep going back doing the same thing, because you'll never gain the trust of the other person again. You know, oftentimes when I get a chance to talk to people and, you know, they've been caught up in an adulterous relationship and now they're trying to work it out and make things right, you know, I say, man, you got to repent of this situation. Now, you know, once again, I know different counselors give different advice. This is the advice that I give. I say, you know what? You need to get on the phone with your wife sitting there or your husband sitting there. You need to call this other person, and the other person needs to be assured that you're on the phone with somebody and that you're just not talking to the air. And you need to end it. You need to end it right there. Say it's done. Right there in front of your mate. Because if you don't, then there's always that dabbling and creeping and sneaking and everything else. And there's always a question in the mind of that other person as to whether or not you're still in that situation. Now, you might still be in it. You know, just because you make that call and everything, that, you know, you can still find a way to slip and slide and sneak and peek. But hopefully that will be the first act of repentance, that you are repenting of that situation, that you're saying that, you know, I'm not going to do this again, and I'm turning around and going in the other direction. And then if the trust is to be regained, the offended person must work at forgiveness. So if you have been the one who has been offended, that somebody has violated the trust in a relationship and it has been against you, then you need to work at forgiving. And it's not easy to forgive. It's one of the most difficult things when somebody has violated the trust for you to forgive. But keep in mind that forgiveness is not forgetting. All right? You will never forget. You'll never forget. But you got to begin to release it. You got to begin, every time that thought comes to your mind, you got to begin to put it away. You got to begin to speak, you know, positive things to the person that you are talking to and not bring that situation up again and again and again. And when you do that, you are truly working at forgiveness. And so we need to see that once trust has been destroyed in a relationship, that it can be gotten back again, but it's going to take some work. And so if you're in a relationship today, I hope that it's a trusting relationship, whatever relationships it might be, whether you're boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife, mother, father, you know, brother, sister, whatever the case may be. You know, I hope that you are in a trusting relationship. I hope that you can trust the people in your life. And if you can't trust them, then you need to pray and ask God to show you what it is that you need to do.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Ain't Understanding Mellow. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Building Trust in Relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Building Trust in Relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Building Trust in Relationships. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.